Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Pin Show,
the smooth talk of the town.
Cool. Yeah!
Yes, you are listening to the Andy Pin Show, and we are back. So, a couple more things in domestic politics before I move on. I forgot, before I left the Mark Foley scandal issue, to mention the fact that Jerry Studs was back in the news this week. And how'd he get there? He died last Saturday. Now, Jerry Studs is the guy who the Republicans bring up every time Foley gets mentioned, because he's a former Democratic representative from Massachusetts who was the first openly gay congressman, and he ended up having an affair, I believe, with a page 20 years ago or so. And it didn't stop his re-election. And so, let's see. He was censured for sexual misconduct with a 17-year-old page that had occurred 10 years earlier. So in 83, it was discovered that 10 years earlier in 73, he'd had inappropriate conduct, I assume, since they said sexual misconduct, with a 17-year-old male page. And he'd been reelected six times after that, or five times after that. Now, of course, when it came out, it was 10 years later. But Studs passed away. So anyway, there people are making the comparison with him and Foley, and I just wanted to mention it. But I wanted to get back to what I alluded to before I went on break, and that was that the Democrats are looking for two kinds of people, for the most part, when they nominate these days. The first is, and we've seen this trend all year long, they are trying to immunize themselves against being swift-voted again, in the same way Democrats were trying to immunize themselves against charges of weak on national security or weak on the military when they nominated Kerry, right? They turned away from Dean, nominated Kerry because Kerry was a decorated war veteran. And then we saw what the swiftboat veterans did, guys who never sailed or fought with John Kerry, making pronouncements that he wasn't worthy of his medals, to say nothing of being president. So Kerry's resolve never to let that happen again. But Democrats decided they're going to nominate Iraq war veterans. So they're looking for veterans, and they must have, I think they've got like 11 veterans of the Iraq war, or veterans period, running for Congress, and the Republicans only have one. Now, it remains to be seen how many of those can win, but that was the first sign that we knew exactly what Democrats were looking for. They were looking for Iraq war veterans. The second one is attractive people. Now, that shouldn't surprise us that we're always looking for attractive people. But the Washington Post did a great article on Saturday about the Democrats and some of the choices they're making. Think about somebody like Harold Ford Jr. in Tennessee. I mean, he was chosen by People Magazine as one of the beautiful people. Good-looking young black guy. Maybe he won't win the Senate, but he's pretty attractive physically. Along with Heath Shuler, the former quarterback, is running in North Carolina. And there are any number of people who have that Hollywood, not quite Hollywood look, but a look of success and just physical attractiveness overall. And it turns out that works. What a surprise. We know it. We know it works in Hollywood. You know, we in this country, we have a very deliberate approach to dealing with physical beauty. We take the one half of 1% of the most attractive people in the country, and we round them up, or they round themselves up. They self-select. They move out to Hollywood, and they try and get in the movies. So there's all these attractive waiters and waitresses and car park attendants out in L.A. waiting for their break to fill your screen with beautiful people. Well, why not do that in politics? If it works in entertainment, it should work in politics. That's the thinking. So I don't know how well it'll work for the Democrats. We just always know that looks matter. And if you have any doubt, think to yourself, when was the last time we elected a bald president? Now, Dick Cheney doesn't count. Even though I said he was president in the previous segment, he didn't run at the head of the ticket. And he is the exception that proves the rule. The last time either party ran somebody without hair, I don't know how far back you have to go, Jerry Ford perhaps, but clearly when it's Clinton and Gore and then it's Kerry and Edwards, you know the Democrats are well coughed. And then except for Cheney, we're looking at people like George W. Bush. We're looking at his father. We're looking at Reagan, right? The man who in his mid-70s swore that he still didn't touch his hair. It just was naturally pitch black, every strand of it. In any case, the last thing I want to talk about in the world of politics here is that John Kerry went out after George W. Bush. He stopped in to see New Hampshire Democrats in a banquet hall in Manchester, New Hampshire over the weekend. And he went after President Bush and talked about how the war in Iraq is a disgrace and that Bush lied about things and we need to clean house. And he goes on like that. Now, this is John Kerry positioning himself for 2008, thinking, I suppose, that he has a shot to be reelected. I mean, to be elected. First of all, I got some news for him. John Kerry can't possibly get the nomination. He will never have a huge number of Democrats after him, behind him again. He had his shot in 2004, and he booted it. He wasn't tough enough. He wasn't decisive enough. And he hasn't changed that much. He's not going to come through. And, you know, he said in some interview, I've learned a lot since then. And so he expects he'll come back and be better. Well, I don't see how. He's still the same indecisive, cautious guy that I've always seen. Now, you want to talk about somebody for the Democrats should look for 2008, or Hillary should watch out for. It's Al Gore. You know, Gore's got the same problem. He lost in 2000 to Bush, but he has a couple of things going on. One is he actually got more votes than Bush, so he can he doesn't have quite the loser status that that Kerry has. Secondly, he had the handicap of trying to finesse the Bill Clinton impeachment and the Monica scandal stuff. He ran away from Clinton instead of running towards him. And so you can see where Gore might get another chance. The other thing is that Al Gore is actually pretty much of a hawk on foreign policy. Beyond that, Gore was on the right side of the Iraq War. He doesn't have to switch horses, switch positions like Hillary may decide to do before the year's out. All right. Gore thought it was a bad idea to begin with. Turns out it was a bad idea. Imagine if he'd been in the White House in 2001 after 9/11. He'd have gone after Al-Qaeda. He'd have gone after the Taliban and cleaned out Afghanistan. He would not, I repeat, he would not have gone into Iraq. So, given that, I think that makes Gore a pretty attractive candidate. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But for the moment, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back this time, really, this time, I am going to talk about North Korea.
Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
Get your hands off that mouse. The Andy Finn Show will be right back.
Yeah!